Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the primary message that Jesus began to preach is, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you repent, your whole outlook on life is completely different. Instead of trying to find your life, you lose your life for Christ's sake. Instead of serving self and sin, you serve Christ and righteousness. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25, the apostle tells us more about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he saw two sets of brothers busy at their trade of fishing. And Jesus called these four men to follow him. The first thing that should strike us as we read these verses is the sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus. First, he has the right to tell people what to do. And second, he has the power to make people obey his commands. Jesus said to these fishermen, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately obeyed. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew were casting their net into the sea. And when Jesus called them, they immediately left their net and they followed Jesus. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, were with their father, Zebedee, in the boat, mending their fishing nets. And when Jesus called them, they immediately left their boat, they left their father, and they followed Jesus. You do not ordinarily just leave your occupation and your father at the drop of a hat when someone calls you. The reason that these men immediately left is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has the sovereign right and authority to command, and it is done. In the beginning, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus Christ called these men from their families, from their work, from their homes, and they came immediately and followed the Lord Jesus. Jesus called these men to follow him. They followed Jesus wherever he went, and they learned from him. They heard his teaching. They saw his works. They learned his attitude, his motives, his goals, his mission, his will. They learned his sound judgment and understanding. They saw his power. They saw his authority. They studied his impeccable wisdom. Jesus Christ called these four men to be his disciples, that is, to learn from him. A disciple is one who learns from another. And Jesus promised these four men, "I will make you fishers of men." Jesus called these men to a particular task. He called them to go out and call other people to follow Christ. He called them to become his apostles. Apostle means one who is sent out. Jesus Christ calls these men and he promises to prepare them for teaching and preaching the Word of God. Jesus did not call every person to leave his parents and to go after Christ on foot in a primitive way of living. And also today, God does not call every Christian to change his everyday life and leave his job or his profession. God calls some to be ordinary members of his flock and his church. And God calls others to a special office. Those whom God calls to a public role must realize that more is required of them than of the ordinary individual. Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to the special office of apostle. But he allowed the others who believed in him to continue their everyday life and their occupations. These fishermen from Galilee were not well educated. And as the sovereign Lord is able to make uneducated men into those with extraordinary spiritual gifts, because the light of faith and the gifts of the Holy Spirit come from heaven, not by our own industry or hard work. Yet the Lord also called men like Paul, who was one of the most well-educated men in his day, and Paul became the most prominent of the apostles. When Jesus called these four in our text, they immediately left all to follow Jesus. And we see in that the forceful effect of the voice of Christ. His voice reaches into the hearts of people. The Lord inwardly compels men by His Spirit to obey His voice when He wishes to draw and seize them for Himself. These four men showed meekness, and they showed the readiness to obey the Lord when they put Christ's calling above and foremost before all of their worldly business. The Lord in His Word calls every one of us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That should be the most important thing in our lives. The kingdom of Jesus Christ should be the most important thing, more important than all of our earthly business. And that is true of ministers of God's Word in a special way. They should be free from worldly care and other concerns so that they can attach themselves and devote themselves wholly to the church to which they are called. And that is part of every call to a minister of the Word of God. He is to devote himself to the Word of God and to prayer. It is also clear from these verses that we do not choose Christ, but Christ chooses us. Christ comes to us with His sovereign and effectual calling to bring us into His service. Jesus called the four men in this passage with His own voice in person. He was standing right there. He said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Today, Jesus Christ is not on earth in His human flesh, but He still calls men by His Word and His Holy Spirit, whom He has given to be with us in this world unto the end of the age. Jesus Christ in His human nature has ascended into heaven, and there today He sits at the right hand of God the Father. But He still sovereignly calls whom He will to be His servant. And He does that through the preaching of His Word that is applied by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that is why Jesus Christ commanded the apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach men everywhere to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When the Word of God is faithfully preached, the mighty Holy Spirit of God accompanies that Word and with irresistible sovereign authority and power compels the hearts of people by the sovereign power and authority of the living Christ. Just as these four men in this passage were compelled by the words of Jesus. I can preach the Word of God to you 100 times over, and it will have no effect on you. It will go in one ear and right out the other. But on the day that Christ in heaven sovereignly and effectually calls you and works in you by His Holy Spirit and His Word, you will hear not just me speaking, but you will hear Christ Himself. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Apostle Paul says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." A true believer hears not just the voice of a man preaching the Word of God, but he hears the sovereign Christ Himself. It does not matter really who the messenger is. He could even be an unbeliever preaching the Word of God. We have examples of that in Scripture. And also today. But if he is preaching God's word, then God's people hear Christ through the preacher. And the Holy Spirit of God brings God's message home to your heart in an irresistible way. Whenever you hear Christ Himself, with His sovereign authority and His almighty power, it is life-changing. You are driven to get up and to follow Jesus Christ more faithfully. That, brothers and sisters, is the most important thing that happens at church. If you are a true believer who hears Christ speak in the preaching of His Word, you will not miss it for anything. You will never say, "I do not want to come to church." For we do not come to church to play with our friends or to get an emotional high. The church is not just a social club that we voluntarily join because the people are fun, or we get encouraged and uplifted, or some other such reason. We do not go to church because we feel good when we go. No, we go to church to worship and to glorify God. And the most important part of public worship is the preaching of God's Word, in which Christ Himself speaks through that Word to His people and applies it to our hearts by His Holy Spirit. Do you hear the risen, sovereign Lord Jesus Christ speaking to your heart by His Spirit through the preaching of God's Word? There's an easy way to tell. Are you compelled to get up and follow Jesus? Are you compelled to serve Christ? Not by me, but compelled by the Spirit of God. Is the preaching of God's Word life-changing to you? Does it command your attitude, your mind, your heart? Your speech, what you love and long for, what you labor for, your priorities, your whole life? Or is preaching just the words of a person? Just me to you? Is it just a bunch of words that in the end may be interesting but not life-changing? Bible says, do not be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Hear the voice of your Savior and Lord and follow Him. Be transformed because He is powerfully renewing your mind and He's working in you by His Word and His Holy Spirit. Christ lays sovereign demands upon His people. Christ did not ask these four men in our text how they felt or whether they wanted to serve Him. Christ did not wait until they were ready to follow Him. He sovereignly commanded, and they obeyed. And we see this throughout the New Testament. Christ sovereignly demands, and we must obey. And children, that is why it is so important to obey your parents willingly and cheerfully, without complaining, without arguing, and without delay. Do not try to push your will on your parents, but do what they command, for Christ commands you through your parents. And by cheerfully and promptly obeying your parents, you learn to hear the voice of your Savior. You learn to hear the voice of Jesus Christ and to obey whatever He commands. You remember that Jesus commanded the rich young ruler to sell all that he had and to follow Christ? And in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus cast out the evil spirits from a man and sent them into a herd of pigs who drowned themselves by running over a cliff, the man wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus told him, no, you stay home. And you tell people right here where you live the great things that I have done for you and how I have had compassion on you. Christ does not call all of us to do the same thing. But everyone whom Christ effectually calls must submit to Him and must do what He commands you to do. He has the right to require total obedience and allegiance from you. He has the right to command you to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor in order that you might follow Him. And He does, in His Word, command you to surrender your whole life to Him, for you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You're not the master of your own life, but you have been bought with a price. You are the slave of Jesus Christ, and therefore you must glorify God with both your body and your spirit. Jesus Christ is building His church. He was building His church when He called these fishermen, and He's still building His church today. What kind of a church is Christ building? He's building a church of people who are willing to submit to His sovereign authority. One thing that is wrong with the church today is that it has made membership so cheap that it is not worth being a member. It does not demand anything of people. That's not what Christ did in the New Testament, in the church that we read about here in the pages of Scripture. Jesus Christ said, you come and you follow me now. Leave your fishnets, leave your boats, leave your father behind. And they did. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, you sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And come and follow me now, or you cannot be my disciple. Jesus Christ said, if you are not willing to hate your father and mother and sister and brother, even your own husband or your own wife, you cannot be my disciple. If you are not willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Christ did not make it easy to belong to his church. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were willing to submit to Christ without any argument and without any hesitation. They laid down their nets and they said goodbye to their father. And they obeyed the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true church of Christ. And the gates of hell will not prevail against that kind of church. Membership in the Christian church is not cheap. In some places, it is a common thing for the members of the church to gather at 6 a.m. before they go to work for fellowship and prayer. It's so cheap now to become a member of the church, but it was not cheap when Christ was here. And it was not cheap during the days of the apostles when members of the church were willing to die in Roman amphitheaters for the honor of their Lord. Christ not only called men to be disciples, but he also taught in their synagogues. And he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed all kinds of sickness and disease among the people. Christ was constantly scattering the seed of God's word everywhere he went. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And through the gospel, God's kingdom is established among people for their salvation. The kingdom of God endures forever. And in that kingdom of God, we receive eternal life. We receive the blessings of the Lord, which are far more important than earthly joys and even prosperity here in this life. Preaching the gospel of Christ and teaching people to observe all that God has commanded in His Word is the means which God Himself has appointed to build and to gather and preserve and defend His church. The primary task of the church today is preaching and teaching God's Word. That's the most important task the church has. All the other things, all the other programs and events are secondary. They're not the means that God has ordained to bring sinners to Christ. The means that God has appointed is preaching and teaching His Word. God attested the Lord Jesus as the real Messiah by mighty miracles. The miracles attested to the truth of Jesus' preaching and teaching. The miracles were so marvelous that no one could say, those are fake. That's not real. Wherever Jesus went throughout Galilee preaching God's word, he healed all kinds of sickness and disease among the people. And the more Jesus preached and healed people, the more the news and the fame of him spread. And the more the news spread, the more people came to Jesus for healing. Matthew 4, verse 24 says, they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. There was no sort of disease which Jesus could not cure. And this testified that Jesus Christ is God, and He exercises all of the infinite power of God. Every one of the modern faith healers today is a counterfeit worker of wonders. Every last one of them is a fake. The Bible says that Satan uses counterfeit miracles. Pharaoh's magicians in Egypt used the power of Satan to work counterfeit miracles, like the miracles that Moses began doing. But soon they could not do what Moses did. And even they had to acknowledge that is the finger of God. Moses did those miracles by the power of God. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What do you see in the fake, counterfeit signs and wonders of the devil? You see a difference in quality and in number. Jesus Christ healed them all. There were no failures, and he healed many, not just a few. The people came from all over Syria, Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and even beyond the Jordan River. And Jesus healed everyone they brought to him. Christ could heal any disease. Christ healed people who were paralyzed from the day they were born. Christ healed all kinds of sickness and disease because he is God. And his fame spread all over. Faith healers today are only able to heal a few of the sick. Certain kinds of people are never healed by faith healers today. They cannot heal a man with a withered hand and make it whole like the other hand. And they say that if you are not healed, it is because you do not have enough faith to be healed. Jesus never said that. He healed them all, even though they did not all have faith. Because God the Father was certifying through these miracles that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah, the anointed one sent by God to be the Savior of his people. Peter tells us this in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. When he preaches on the day of Pentecost, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." No one disputed that the miracles Jesus did were real. Even the Sanhedrin knew they were real, and they knew that all the people knew they were real. And that's why they were afraid to arrest the apostles. That's why they were afraid to arrest Jesus. You cannot deny it when Jesus raised dead people to life. And people who were born paralyzed get up and walk. And people with a withered arm and hand suddenly have two good arms and hands. Everyone knew that the authority of Jesus Christ was the authority of Almighty God. And look at the tremendous effect of Christ's ministry. The word went out like wildfire. People came from Galilee and the surrounding region, from Syria and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan River. And great multitudes, both of Jews and Gentiles, followed Jesus. Are you interested in church growth? How does the church grow? The biblical method of church growth is this: get people committed and involved where they see something so wonderful that they cannot stay away. And then other people will be interested in coming too. People outside the church were interested and came because the people inside the church were on fire for Christ. And they delighted to be together as God's people. We cannot do miracles today because the purpose of miracles is to attest and certify God's revelation. If you study miracles in the Bible, you will find that God did miracles when He gave His revelation, such as through Moses. The miracles certified that Moses was the prophet of God. Miracles attested that Jesus was God's Messiah. But even without miracles, when the church is alive and active and enthused by what God has given, then the world becomes interested. People realize that there's something going on there. They have something. Let us go and see what it is. But when the members of the church are not even interested in it, you cannot expect anyone outside the church to be interested either. The church will not grow until God's people are committed. When the church is on fire and enthused so that they love to come to church and are committed to the work and the kingdom of God, then other people will be interested also. If we are not interested enough to be here, enthused about what God is doing, people are not going to ask what is going on and want to come. Why should they? It has nothing to do with the size of the church. It has to do with the quality of the church and the commitment of the people. If you are not committed, if you're not committed to Christ, if you're not committed to Christ's kingdom, do not expect that you will be able to interest anyone else in Christ either. But if you are committed, if we are alive to the gospel and the voice of our Savior, if we are enthused about it, then other people will be interested. That's how Christ built the church. People came because they could see the power of Christ working marvelously in the lives of people. May the Lord Jesus so work in us that every one of us is truly and really committed to the kingdom of God and enthused about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank You for the gospel. We thank You for the words of hope and comfort to sinners that we are, who without Christ have no hope in this world. We thank You, Father, for the preaching of that word, and that by the preaching of Your word and the working of Your Holy Spirit by and with that word, You Yourself speak to us. You compel us to follow You. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, today that You might accompany Your word by the power of Your Spirit, that You might get hold of every heart, and that You might powerfully work so that Your children delight in You, that they are moved by Your voice, that they submit to You and follow You, that they gladly forsake all to serve You. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You continue to gather Your people, to build and establish Your church, that You have continued to provide for the teaching and preaching of Your word. We thank you, Father, for all those whom you have called. And we pray that your people, not just here, but in every place, might be committed to you, committed to serving Christ, committed to building your kingdom, committed to being your people. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you might give that motivation and that zeal that cannot be quiet, but that rejoices in and delights in the marvelous work that you are doing each and every day in the hearts and lives of your people. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you might give us the eyes of faith to see that work that you are doing, to see its fruit, to see the life that it brings. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you might be pleased to continue that work in us and to work also sovereignly and effectively in many others. They might hear your voice and follow you. We know, Heavenly Father, that you have promised that you will build your church, that it will not be destroyed. And you will continue to build it even until the great day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you might do so and that we might not be obstacles to that, but be instruments in your hand to that end. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes to be your people and to serve you with all that is in us, like these fishermen did. In Jesus' name, amen.